This is Richard Epcar, voice of Bato and Ghost in the Shell, and you're listening to Nutty Bites.
Hello, Mixed Nutcases. This is Nuke Chas, and I've got a special episode for you today. We're doing this thing where we're revising some old topics that we've done before, and we're going to give you an updated, revised con survival guide. But instead of just telling you how to survive attending a con, we're going to talk about attending, guesting, and a little bit of the behind-the-scenes stuff of running tracks or being involved in being a volunteer. So thank you for joining us today. With me, as usual, I have my regular antagonist.
Hi, I'm sick. I mean, tech.
And he is hacking up a lung, and hopefully he will stay off the mic.
Try to keep that off the microphone. I apologize, YouTube land and patrons and listeners.
Yes. Two of them are right there. Yeah. And with
Sorry,
us,
guys.
We have two patrons with us. We have our Daddy Warbucks.
Hi, I'm back again. You must be getting sick of me by now.
You need to say your name.
They know who I am. I'm Jason. Warbucks.
Hi, Daddy.
Warbucks.
Yes, Daddy Warbucks. And we have our resident QA guy.
Howdy.
Jax.
Southern. Oh, yeah, I am a deep southern. I don't say much. It's Jax. Hey, guys.
He is a man of little words.
Very few words on any podcast, even the ones I host.
This is true.
I'm a man of very few words. Any questions?
Any questions? So, we've got a lot of different con experience that we're going to be able to bring to the table. But before we get into it, I'm going to interrupt us just a little bit. And we're going to thank the patrons. We want to thank Aurora Lee. We want to thank Rich the TT. We want to thank Dagny. We want to thank Mike, Daddy Warbucks Jason.
Thanks, Daddy.
Ken Kennedy. Susan. Lynette. Melissa, the bathtub mermaid. Susanna. Frank, Kinsey, Beth, Ian, Harold, Jen, Patrick, hey, Jax, and our initial patron, Shane.
And added on top of that, we have to thank our cash patron.
Oh, yes, Nick. And Nick.
Thanks, Nick.
Thanks, Nick. So thank you for...
Like a small package over to your house, like a drug dealer.
No, it's normally I go to work, I go by his desk, and he throws cash at me.
No, okay. Let's give an accurate picture. He chucks loonies at you.
Yeah. It's
or toonies,
dollar coins. It's normally dollar coins, or the last time it was a wadded $5 bill that he herfed in my direction,
Or $2 coins. You know,
yes.
Being Canada, no.
On your desk.
What's that?
You have a red lamp on your desk.
No, but I did dance a little number for him. I mean. It is tradition.
You're his private dancer?
Yes!
Or any old music will do.
Oh, boy.
So
I didn't have my phone on the dancer going.
So we're going to be talking, how do we survive a con? So we're starting this now because this is when con season starts. I'm sure some have already begun, but really, most cons center around the summertime because people like being hot in costumes for some reason. And we're going to start with talking about, as an attendee, how do you survive?
Manage your expectations. If you think that going to this con, Joss Whedon will become your best friend because you're going to tell him the best joke he's ever heard, or that model that cosplayer that you've been idolizing on the website, that she is going to fall in love with you, or that, you know, at the end of that long line, you're going to get that piece of swag that you've been waiting for that is a con exclusive, you know, whatever, bauble or trinket. Do not base your con experience on only getting those rewards, because 9 times out of 10, you don't get them. Guess what? By the time Nutty finally got to meet George Martin, he was so tired and so dead, he barely looked up from the book, and we didn't have a chance to tell him the story that we'd been waiting the whole con, that you'd been waiting to tell him.
Well, not the whole con. I knew I wasn't going to be able to tell it to him, but he didn't even look up. You know, it was like robot author stuck in a cage with a feeding frenzy outside of him.
And it's very sad. I don't know how many times I've heard stories of people that have waited at the end of 2-hour lines to get this piece of swag or this one piece of like con exclusive merchandise to get to the end and find out that it's sold out. They don't have any more. Yeah. So if all you're waiting for is that one thing, there's so many more things to do at a con, so many other ways to have fun and enjoy yourself, that if you're waiting for these rare physical rewards or these rare interactions, the best interactions are the ones that happen spontaneously.
Yeah.
Like when I got beat up by Denise Crosby.
Yeah.
At the first HowlCon.
Or like at my first and only Dragon Con, I met LeVar Burton eating a hot dog.
Yeah. Or all the poor saps at HowlCon that year that couldn't get into the con because they had overloaded the amount of people and there were too many people for the fire marshal. Mm-hmm. And while waiting on the line to get their refund, had Doctor Who come out and greet them and talk to them.
Which Doctor Who was it?
Davidson.
Davidson.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
Peter Davidson?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, Peter Davidson ended up walking the line outside the venue when the fire marshal shut the convention center down. Yeah. He walked the line and shook hands with everyone and stopped for photo ops and said, "I'm sorry, you know, sorry you guys can't get in. It's so horrible, but here, you know, let me make it up to you." So that's kind of cool. Yeah. Completely unexpected. No. That's the stuff that happens at cons that makes cons worthwhile. Not when I get to the autograph table, I'm going to tell my witty joke to the two boys from Supernatural and they're going to fall in love with me and we'll be forever best friends. No, that's not going to happen. So don't waste your time fantasizing about this stuff. It's not going to happen.
And the best friends that I've met at cons are just fans that we shared fun stories in the crowd.
Absolutely. You know,
I have quite a few people that I did not meet through podcasting, that I did not meet through anything else. I didn't know them going into the con, and we just shared some good times, you know, in between panels or whatever. And I still talk to them all the time. Or my favorite is when you run into somebody who has a cosplay that matches yours and you become fast friends.
It was funny you talked about Peter Davidson, because the first time I went to, I found out there was a local con in my hometown called Mysticon. So the first one I went to, and like any self-respecting nerd, I go for the entirety of the cons on Friday, Saturday, Sunday. There was literally maybe like 200 people at the con tops. So he was literally out in the hallway, just wandering around, just going up and meeting and talking to people because no one was at the autograph signing. Like, no one was at his table. So he said, you know what? Screw it. I'm going to bring the autographing to you guys. And he was so cool.
Exactly.
He was super awesome guy.
And
you're absolutely right about the meetings and events to happen, because I met you guys through such spontaneity, right? Like,
I knew you were coming.
How did you know I was coming?
You had posted in, I think it was T's group, that you were coming, you were a super fan, you didn't know anybody, and you felt awkward or something. And I said, I got you covered.
Because like,
and I took you around and introduced you to everybody.
Was at a book signing for Sigler where I met T.M. Pitt for the first time. By the way, I was introduced to him by Sigler going, "See that guy in the White Sox jersey? Follow him to the booth."
Yeah, that's how they go in Virginia. Yeah. Follow T. Yeah,
I went to a Dogfish Ale House, and I was addicted to good beer ever since.
Bill in the chat says he got to hear author Spider Robinson play guitar. See, these are the things that are awesome.
I've had similar interactions where I've been sitting down, normally at the bar having a drink, and someone in the group were sitting around having a conversation with a bunch of people, and someone goes, "Oh man, I really wish I could meet T. Morris." I was like, "Well, he's right over there. Do you want to go talk to him?" Say, "Oh, I wouldn't know what to say. I'm so embarrassed. Oh my God, is that really T. Morris? Wow, he's so much bigger in person." And let's go over and talk to him, because T's actually a pretty cool guy. And
that's an immaculate beard.
Yes.
Yes.
But and I guess that's another thing about con survival. It's one of these things. It's a joke that I've always said about Dungeons and Dragons and other role-playing games. That they're games about social interaction for people that suck at social interaction.
Yes.
Because the people that tend to play these games, like me, we're not the most gregarious people. But so what are cons? Cons are massive social gatherings for people that suck at social gatherings.
Yeah.
And
tagging on to your limit your expectations thing.
Yeah.
If you do want that kind of personal one-on-one attention with a guest, and again, lower your expectations. You know, Billy D. Williams, no matter how small the con is, you're not going to sit there and be able to tell him how cool he is. It's just not going to happen, okay? But
He knows he's cool.
He does. He knows he's cool. But the smaller the con you go to, the more access you tend to have.
The better chance of having more access.
Yes. Absolutely. And Jax can tell us at Dragon Con, if you want to see somebody, you have to stand online, right?
It depends on the celebrity or a person. If it's someone like, say, John Barrowman, yeah, you're going to be online for at least an hour and a half minimum if you're lucky and you got there early. Some of the other big names, I think
Patrick Stewart.
Yeah, Patrick Stewart, in theory this year, Stan Lee, those lines are going to be massive. I forget, one of the really big authors came last year and his line was so long because I was waiting with my friend. They actually told us he's actually already over his time. He's supposed to be somewhere else for another ceremony. And they actually had to tell people to come back tomorrow. Like, they gave them numbers so they could be first in line. But those lines are just insanely long. Same with photo ops, for Karen Gillan.
Yeah.
Those lines are ridiculous depending on the person. Now, if you get someone smaller, I have photos from last year's Dragon Con where I met Alec Baldwin. His line wasn't that long. And it may have been because I waited a couple of days, and other people have problems with him for other reasons. We don't need to get into that. But the fact that I actually had a Vera, and I was like, I'd want this man's signature because I love his character. His line was maybe six people at the time. So it depends on when you get in line, how popular they are, and how many controversies they may or may not have behind them.
And whether or not they've been on Saturday Night Live recently, because I think Alec Baldwin would have a longer line this year. I think that, for instance, Balticon is usually a great con to be able to talk to people because you just see them in the bars or whatever, whereas last year was the 50th anniversary. And it was a much bigger con. And so George R. R. Martin, you had to get a number to get anything signed by him. And you had to wait online for the number. And then you had to wait online with your number. And it was like a whole big spiel, which is not normal. Normally, you would go and you would see these people talk on panels. And they might be in the bar later, or they might be, you might bump into them. No big deal. I have heard stories of, you could be in the room next to Stan Lee and never see him. He may call the cops on your party, but you still never see him.
Grace actually has a story about that, but I'll let Jason go ahead.
Well, no, definitely, Balticon is definitely a thing, and smaller cons are definitely the way to go about it. I mean, I kind of cheat the system now because I've been going to AFO since 2011, I think it was. Mm-hmm. And when I first went, or I think 2012. When I first went, I had just started podcasting and I didn't have any clout at all. So when they were like, yeah, if you want to get interviews for your thing, I just basically had to wait like everybody else and throw in all my pitches and asking and questions in the midst of everyone else. And thank God it was a small con, right? Like, because there weren't super huge lines and everything like that. But, putting in that work 5 years later, I get a press pass to that con. I don't pay to go. And I cut in line and I get to talk to guests before and after. And, I put in that work. But at the same time, I never really had that issue of being like, man, this line is 8 years long. I'm going to be here for my next birthday. Okay. Because I've never, it took me, I think, to Dragon Con. So I'd gotten some practice at small cons and standing in line, meeting people and all that good stuff. Mind you, I will probably never go back to Dragon Con again because literally 50, 60,000 people crammed in between five hotels.
It's a bit much.
Dragon Con, they've spread out. They're not just confined. They've moved into the Amerismart, so they've kind of spread it out a little bit. So the dealer's halls are a bit further away. And so it's not as crowded. It doesn't feel as crowded. At least it didn't last year when they had record numbers of almost 80,000 people.
Ooh.
So
that makes me anxious.
That's twice as much as my hometown.
Yeah.
Not if the fire marshal asks. If the fire marshal asks, it's a cool 50K.
Which is the size.
Just about 77,000.
It's 600 people. There's only 600 here. You must have a problem with your vision if you're seeing 80,000, sir. Yes.
So we're going to get back to the whole interviewing and press passing stuff later because we're gonna get to that. So we just want to give people, I don't want to sour people, but I want people to understand that when you're going to a con, the guests are there to entertain, but at the same time, you can't expect things from them because it's very difficult for us. We watch these shows, we read their books, and we have these personal relationships, or with podcasts, we have these personal relationships with people that are in our ears, our eyes, whatever. It's one-sided. They have no idea who you are. And that doesn't mean that they won't be grateful, but at the same time, you have to take a breath and just realize the reality of the situation. So the other big thing I want to talk about, and this is essential, we have said this before and we will say it again, it is the 5-2-1 rule. Okay?
Five shots of rye.
No.
Two shots of tequila.
No.
No? Okay.
One shot of
bourbon. No.
Tequila makes her clothes fall off.
No, stop. 5 hours of sleep a night. 5 hours of sleep every night, minimum. Two meals a day. Minimum.
Unless you're military, you can go less.
No. One shower a day.
You just pack one MRE, right?
Minimum.
Exactly.
That doesn't mean you can't take more than one. If you can, that's awesome. But minimum one shower a day.
Oh, yeah.
These are
not
essential.
The whole con, one a day, not the whole con. One
yeah,
a day.
Yeah, one a day, not the whole con. Exactly. So these are essential to avoid con crud, to avoid stressing yourself out, and to avoid making nobody want to stand next to you. Okay, that's very important.
It's, you know, you're going to be, you know, you go to the bigger cons, you know, like Jax was describing, 80,000 people in Atlanta. Atlanta, also known as Hotlanta for you people that aren't there, it is not known for its Arctic climate and rampaging polar bears. Okay, it is warm. So 80,000 people jammed into five hotels with questionable air conditioning. Guess what happens? People sweat. People stink. Don't be one of the stinky people. If everybody showered every day.
Cosplayers.
Right. Yeah. And then all the cosplayers in the heavy costumes and all the leather and the, you know, the heavy armor and all that. Okay. So it's one of these things that you're absolutely right. And you have no idea how much sleep deprivation and alcohol and lack of food and stress affects your personality. Mm-hmm. At the last Balticon, I turned into quite the grumpy Gus for a little while. As a matter of fact, I think I yelled at a 13-year-old. I think I threatened to kill a 13-year-old at one point. Sorry, 13-year-old.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was kind of a bad day. But it was a combination of stress. It was a combination of overstimulation, a combination of alcohol and fatigue and all of these things.
Yeah,
and
not enough sleep.
Not enough sleep. Sleep deprivation. So you guys, get your rest, get your showers, get your food. And by food, I mean, yeah, it's a con. Okay, you're not going to be eating the healthiest stuff on earth, but try to get some healthy food into you. If you're eating nothing but bad carbs and bad calories, it's not good food for you.
Get the things that fuel you. Years ago,
if at a con you're living off Hot Pockets, it's okay.
If you're at a con, you're living off Hot
right,
Pockets.
Right, but two Red Bulls and a Dr. Pepper is not lunch.
No.
What? It's not?
No. Sorry, Jax.
I think it was 2 years ago. I ran myself ragged. I was on too many panels. I was doing too many things. I was planning a big memorial. I did not prepare myself properly. I did not get my two meals a day. I got the five and I got the one, but I was not getting the two. And it was the year that I came home.
That was a really rough year.
It was a really rough year. And it was the worst year for me to deviate from the 5-2-1. And I came home with such con crud that it took like a month for me to recover.
By con crud, of course, we're talking about the cold that everybody gets at cons because infectious diseases spread like wildfire.
Yeah, you're all sharing the same germs. If you want to know more and you're going to Balticon, check out one of the smart panels.
Oh, and by the way, while we're on the topic of infectious diseases and giant crowds of people, ladies and gentlemen, wrap it up. Okay, guys?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You guys are going to be meeting lots of sexy people. You're going to have lots of sexy fun. Wrap it up.
Okay.
Because you don't want to come home with something extra.
Yep. And we're not going to go into detail there, but if anyone has any questions and you're embarrassed, send me a private message or there are many places you can go.
Send one to me. Yeah.
No, don't send one to Jason. Don't.
Yeah.
No.
You know,
So these rules are really important because you will get sick. And in addition to those two meals a day, and for me, like I know, for instance, I try to make sure that I get some good protein when I'm at a con. I think one of my favorite things to do is I'll just buy a big chunk of ahi tuna and I'll just cut it up and just eat it as sashimi because I need that kind of protein. Find out what your body is fueled on. And that's what you need to eat.
What's that one restaurant we always find next
Noodles.
To?
Noodles. Noodling Company.
Oh,
yes.
Noodling Company. How much do I love your giant bowls of protein?
Yes.
Oh.
Some noodles, some protein, and all of that. And
hangover food.
Yeah. It's actually, you know, really good stuff. Mm. So these are really important. In addition to that, make sure you've got snacks to keep you going. I like to keep Trail Mix. Bring yourself some granola bars. Anything that you can keep in your pocket that isn't going to attract ants and that isn't going to fall all over the floor, bring it with you. Keep it with you and keep going and hydrate. Hydrate, hydrate, hydrate.
So with that, while we were talking about super sexy people, another point that we have to bring up every year that we have to talk about here at this point is that just because you're cosplaying as a character does not mean that you are personally embodying all the traits of that character. And especially when it gets to the point of somebody playing a super sexy character in a skimpy costume, does not mean anything else about that cosplayer other than the fact that they're wearing that costume. Cosplay does not equal consent.
Yes.
It does not mean that you get the right to approach, touch, or talk to these people in any sort of way other than the words, hey, man, that's a cool costume. And if you think that because that cosplayer is wearing something sexy that you have the right to touch them or approach them in an inappropriate way, think again or just don't go to the con. Yeah. These people work hard on their costumes. These people work hard on that, and they don't need that kind of attention, and you don't need the police rap sheet that you're about to get, or if you're anywhere within, let's say, 100 yards of me, the unholy beating that I am about to give upon you if I find you sexually harassing anyone at a con. It's just not right. It's just not required. Go away. I don't need you at my cons.
Yeah.
And is when I jump on tech.
Boom, phrasing.
There's photos of that, by the way.
So,
yes.
As Tech said, you know, cosplay does not equal consent. And I understand a lot of us, we're socially awkward and it's, wow, I see this really great costume. They're dressed as my favorite character. Oh my gosh. The best thing you can say to a cosplayer is, can I take your picture? Even if you just want to talk to them. But you don't want to be creepy, because please don't be creepy. Just, can I take your picture, is a great opening line to, and then you can say, I really love that character. You know, Pinkie Pie is my favorite pony. I love what you did with the horns. There's no horns on Pinkie Pie. Sorry. I love what you did with the ears and the cutie mark and yada, yada, yada. And it's a great opening move. And if you ask the cosplayer, can I take your picture? They're going to pose for you. They're going to give you their best side and they're going to get comfortable in front of you. That's what you want. You want people to be comfortable.
And, you know, have realistic expectations here, people. That's probably the limit of your interaction.
Yeah.
These people have lives outside the con. I'm sorry.
And we're just as socially awkward as you are.
Right. But guess what? You know what? I had a huge crush on Sailor Jupiter. When I see the Sailor Jupiter cosplayer and I say, hey, that's a really good Jupiter costume. Can I take your picture? I don't get to take her home afterwards. And nor should I expect that to happen.
Yeah.
Unless it's Nutty in a Sailor Jupiter. Oh, my God, Nutty, could you get a Sailor Jupiter costume?
Nope.
The wheels in Tech's head are now turning.
I know, right?
Oh, my. The brown.
But another thing about cosplayers, butts on the floor, photos no more.
Mm.
Wait, what?
What?
That's a good
thing on Tumblr.
That's a good point.
It was basically what they came up with. If the cosplayer is pretty much they look like they're done. They're sitting like, you know, on the floor. They're kind of, and the phrase that Tumblr came up with was "butt on the floor, photos no more."
Okay.
So
yeah.
You know, be mindful that you're not the only one that's probably wanting a photo with, you know.
Yeah.
This cosplayer, they've probably worked on this thing. I know for Dragon Con, some of these people have worked on this thing all year. Like Dragon Con was done, they took maybe a week or two off. They started working on their next giant build, and they're in like, you know, they're in the contest, or, you know, this is, you know, their debut of it. And you're probably the 800,000th person asking for a photo. And like we said, there's 8,000 people. not a lot of room. It's hot. They're tired. They need some rest too. They are people as well.
Yeah, exactly.
Remember, this is specifically for Dragon Con. That's Georgia in the summer.
So it's Labor Day weekend. You also have all the footballers in town.
Oh gosh. So yeah, that's really important. Thank you for that, Jax. You know, you have to remember that these people have put a lot of work into this. And this is something I want to also add. Do not criticize a cosplayer's costume to them. Do not tell a cosplayer, whether in person or on social media, that they should not be cosplaying that character unless they've done something horribly offensive, like put on blackface. I don't want to see people saying, oh, you know, she's too fat to be Motoko, or
too fat to play Wonder Woman, or
or how dare you try to play Big Bertha when you're only a size 2, or whatever the, you know, why is a woman trying to play Han Solo? No, you compliment them or you shut up.
Yeah, your mama,
they put a lot of work into
this.
You
were 4 and your mama told you that if you had nothing nice to say, you say nothing at all. Yeah. I think it's time that we all remember that advice from our beloved mamas and just sometimes be quiet.
Or you'll get a backhand like we're your mama too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. With a wooden spoon.
And, you know, most of these cosplayers, they're making these things out of nothing. We have a cosplayer friend who would hand sew his costumes on the bus or while he was at work or wherever, and he was making them out of scraps of leather and vinyl and duct tape.
He would
and
go to
foam.
The he would go to like the what was it? Not the Salvation Army, but it was like your local thrift shop.
Yeah, Guy Frenchie's.
Yeah, so he would go to your local thrift shop and buy $2 hoodies,
mm-hmm.
and he would combine the fabrics together to make hoodie costumes.
Yeah,
and I think his best one is he did DJ Pwnee.
Yes.
From My Little Pony, just out of scraps of fabric stitched to an old hoodie. But because the hoodie had a logo on it, he wore it inside out, so it was kind of fuzzy.
Yeah.
What is like pony talk from you two? My God. Hmm.
Well, you know, go listen to Epic. You'll know what that's all about.
Yeah.
So,
damn you, Epic.
But yeah, so, you know, cosplayers get really creative, and some people seem to think if you don't match what they see on in the comic books or on the screen that you failed your cosplay. And it's like, no, open your mind, because I'll tell you see me cosplay something, it's never gonna look like it did on screen, because I find that boring for me personally. I need it to be different.
I had a friend of mine tell me a story that she had made dresses for her daughters,
mm-hmm.
to attend an SCA event, but a lot like a con. So these beautiful medieval recreation dresses, and they had fully grown adult humans going up to her 9-year-old daughter, touching the fabric on the dress, and go, well, they're nice, but you know the fabric's not period, right?
Yeah.
No, that's right. I didn't garb my 9-year-old in 1400-year-old fabric. Yes, I get it. You win the Emmy for thing knowing. Well done.
Yeah.
Just
say nice things.
Just say,
or nice. Don't say anything.
Be nice to people. Or
you know, sometimes I think people, and I'm not even gonna say I think people do it. I know people do it. People let their nerddom and their fandom outweigh their common sense.
Yeah.
They think no one can love something as much as they do, when in reality we all love those things. We all treasure them and hold them near and dear, because most of us were picked on as kids about it, so they were our one saving grace, right?
I had that happen to me the other day. I'm looking for a plastic model of an airplane that I love very much called the Avro Arrow. And it was a Canadian airplane that was canceled in 1958. It is a nerd thing. Look it up. It's beautiful. The problem is that there's only one company that ever made the model, and they don't make it anymore. So I went to the one big model shop in town, and I went looking for it. And I said, I'm looking for a plastic model of the Arrow. And the guy said, you're never going to find one. They don't make it anymore. I'm like, oh, that's really disappointing. He says, yeah, look up at the ceiling. And on the ceiling was his $20,000 1/10 scale flying model that the guy owns. And then it turns out the guy's a massive Arrowhead. He's a huge fan of the plane, just like me. So we start nerding out, and we're talking to him. He goes, I want to show you something. Come with me. So we go back into his office at the back of the store, and he shows me the shelf of model kits that he's buying on Amazon and on Kijiji and on Craigslist. And he's going around the world buying all of the model kits to collect them all, but he won't sell me one.
Yeah, you're never going to find them because
he's the one buying them all. And he shows me this huge shelf of model kits that he's got, and he's bragging about how I own 7 of that one, and that's the Mark II model kit that had the better resin, but I own all of those, and then I own all of that, and I own this rare thing and that rare thing. I'm like, can I buy one? No, man, they're not for sale. That's my collection. Then why did you show them to me, you arrogant?
You know why? Mm. Because as when he asked you if he could show you something and you followed him into that whatever room full of his model kits, there was a ka-thunk as he dropped his mm-hmm. EP on the.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because he's 12 years old.
I knew you were going there.
No, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. It was a massive echoing ka-thunk. That's exactly what it was.
It's an arrow measuring contest. Right. So exactly. Yeah. And I think that Jason hit the nail on the head. Mm. And you can listen to our fan entitlement episode where we all are so used to being picked on about things. We forget to realize that sometimes we do the picking on. And we just need to be more inclusive in our fandom. And we can all do that. And I don't want people to get scared when they listen to this, because 90% of cons are really awesome and inclusive, and people are wonderful, and you'll never meet people better.
This is my one real vacation a year.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry for coughing all over your podcast. This is the one time a year that I look forward to getting together with my digital family and all of my friends. And I drink way too much rye. I have way too much fun. And I hang out with all of you, and you're the best people alive. I thank all of you that I meet every year, and I look forward to meeting the people that I haven't met yet. Yeah. And hope to meet again. I mean, it's great. It's just, you have to add a dose of reality. It's way too easy to build fantasies about how, you know, oh, I hope Nathan Lowell's coming this year. I'm going to tell him the story about how the Army's a lot like the Navy, and he's going to be my best friend, and we're going to have this long conversation. And, well, guess what? He's got his own expectations and own things that he wants to do with the con this year, and maybe I won't even get a chance to talk to Nathan Lowell. So,
but if you do, it'd be awesome.
But if you do, it'd be awesome, because Nathan Lowell's a really cool guy.
Yeah.
And I really hope that Jason brings more mix this year, because last year he was mixing my rye with this really disgusting fruit punch stuff, and I drank it all down because I had nothing left, and that made me a grumpy Gus. But hey, maybe he won't. Maybe he will.
So here's my next thing that brings us: prepare your room. So. And we've been very spoiled. The old location for Balticon was across the street from a grocery store. So anytime we needed more things, we just went across the street. It's an amazing grocery store. Not so much this year. As a matter of fact, there are no grocery stores within walking distance.
Not in the Inner Harbor.
Whoa, there's no grocery stores, but there is definitely a liquor store.
Yeah, there was definitely liquor stores.
We found it.
Yeah. So,
you'll find it.
Yeah, it was liquor stores and buying, you know, 1 liter bottles of mix, or not even 1 liter, the 8 ounces.
And there also is a noodling company.
Yes, and there is a noodling company.
Oh, but, we found that.
So the plan for us this year is, before we get to the Inner Harbor, when we're still in like Maryland, we're going to stop at a grocery store. We are going to stock up on the food and the things that we need for our hotel, including mix and other sundries. And we're going to make sure that we are supplied, so that no matter what happens, if I can't get out to get a meal right away, I can run back to my room and I can have some food.
Right. And, you know, same thing with all the cosplayers out there. You know, bring a cosplay survival kit.
Yes.
Hot glue gun, sewing kit, extra fabric, extra foam, you know, whatever little pieces that you need, extra buttons.
Base layers, extra. You want something. Now, this is a cosplayer top tip. You want something between you and your costume. Okay. Yeah, but it's hot. I understand it's hot. Trust me, you put a base layer between you and your costume, and you can change that base layer and wear the costume again. What'd you say, Jax?
You Your skin will thank you.
Yes.
Your skin will thank you, and people around you will thank you, and you'll get to wear your costume longer, and you'll get to wear it at a second con.
Right, because, you know, Sailor Jupiter cosplay, amazing. Sweat-stained Sailor Jupiter costume, not so amazing. No. So, yeah, wear a base layer, change that base layer.
Sailor Jupiter that got ringworm because they didn't wear a base layer, not so great.
Gross. Yes, nobody likes staph infection Sailor Mars. No.
Now, also, as a from personal experience here, for those people who are not cosplayers but cosplay photographers, take into consideration, one, what they're wearing, everything else. But you also need to take into consideration, are you prepared to take the photographs that you want to take? Because you'll need, you know, maybe an extra lens or an extra battery, or you'll need to make sure you have a... Yes, flash, or you need to have something set up because, mind you, this was an impromptu thing where my girls in Florida wanted me to be their photographer because the normal one wasn't there. Mind you, I end up having to make an impromptu photo shoot in my room using the actual bed sheets and things for, you know, whatever. But you have to make sure you're prepared and keep those things in tow. Same thing if you're a podcaster and you're doing interviews, because I know a lot of people at Balticon specifically like to network and get quick interviews that they use for later dates and podcasts and stuff like that, because it's definitely a good way to get content to fill in spots when you might miss a show or your life gets
in the way. You need extra batteries. You need extra cards. Those are your musts.
And if you're using your phone to record audio or video, and your phone is your lifeline, make sure you've got one of those plug-in extra batteries for your
battery packs are your friend.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, having extra batteries, you know, not just the one that, oh, my battery's dead, I need to recharge it. If you've got a camera or a recorder, you better have a backup battery. And it's really funny because Bill in the chat says, that reminds me, I need to recharge my video camera batteries.
Exactly.
Exactly.
And also make sure that you've got an alternate, because there's nothing like that one rare chance. I remember when we worked at the community radio station in Fredericton, CHSR 97.9 FM, your source for campus and community radio, that they would, we sent a guy to a big metal show. I think it was Slipknot.
I don't know.
Was it? Anyway, the guy got to meet like this big, like they play stadiums, like world level heavy metal band. And he set the microphone down on the table and only pressed record once, not twice.
Yeah.
So the one chance he had in the world to interview this metal band, nothing was recorded.
Yeah.
Okay. There's nothing like a live interaction to have everything you have planned fail. So always have a backup. Always have a second recorder of some kind, like your phone or even like a cheap tape recorder. You know, whatever you've got, always have something backup.
So before we go on, because that makes me want to talk about a couple of things as being a panelist. By the way, you notice we still haven't heard Nutty Bites live from last year. Yeah, that's one of the problems.
What happened to Nutty Bites from last year, Nutty?
I plugged into the mixer and the microphones that were supposed to be on were off, and the microphone that was on was the audience mic.
Oh.
Yeah, it was pretty bad. We're still working on trying to salvage that audio. But
that was a good session. I wish we had audio from it. I'm not being helpful.
Very important. Super important. Know your own mobility needs and be aware of other people's mobility needs. Many conventions rely on elevators. If you are able-bodied and able to, use the stairs, because there are people who cannot use the stairs, and you need to be able to leave elevators for people who cannot. If you can't use the stairs, do not feel guilty about using the elevators. They're for you. You are entitled to them. Do not feel guilty about needing any mobility devices while you're at a con. They are for you. But, you know, maybe you be aware of yourself and your surroundings. But it's very important. One of the things that is very frustrating is when you're running up and down the stairs and you see people waiting at elevators going up and down with one or two people in them. Meanwhile, there's people who have walkers that are waiting and they can't do anything. Or you've got somebody who is, I believe it was a blind lady who had nobody with her and couldn't find her way out of the hotel because the convention was on the fifth floor. Yep. And she needed to get to a taxi.
So I excused myself from the panel and I got her to the lobby and I made sure that they were able to hail her a cab and I made sure she got home safe. The best thing about these cons is that it's a group full of people. So if you can be a nice person, be a nice person. If somebody needs a hand, give them a hand. Whatever you can do. Somebody drop something, pick it up for them. Someone's lost, try to give them directions or at least find a volunteer who can help them get where they're going. And you know, that I think is one of my favorite memories from last year's cons was this blind woman needed help getting to the lobby. So I got to have a conversation with her. And, you know, as soon as she pulled out the cane and she had her hand around my arm, everybody just sort of parted ways, in front of us. And I was able to walk her out to the lobby. And it was a fun conversation the whole time. And I got to help somebody.
Yeah.
What better feeling?
Turning the dirt.
What'd you say, Jason?
I was making a really bad joke about if she turned into Daredevil or not. She was the woman with the
beard. Yes, he was escorting Daredevil out. She was totally faking. Yes,
you know, and I was kind of mad that I got to miss Jason's rap debut.
Yeah,
I only caught the tail end of it.
It was during that. Yeah, so bad about that. But that's the thing. It's if you need help, people will help you, and it's great, and we love it. But if you can, think about those other people. If you see them, help them. But even if you don't see them, take the stairs. If you can, take the stairs. It's hot and you don't want to sweat. And running up and down stairs can be difficult. And if you're at, say, Dragon Con, I don't think you can take the stairs all the way up to the 25th floor. But
actually, you can. You don't want to.
Yeah.
What I have to say about elevators and larger conventions.
Yes.
If the elevator is full, do not try and put more people on it. It will cause the elevator to buzz. The elevator can stop working. And then you just made everybody mad because now they got to check the elevator and make sure it's actually working.
Right.
Yes. If there's
do not be that person who demands to get to the front of the line if there's a long line of elevators. This happens every year at Dragon Con. It gets captured on video, and we all agree you, the person who is cutting into the line yelling about they need to get on the elevator, you are the party at fault, and you are words I will not say on this podcast for nutty's sake.
Right. Or you'll have to listen for them to tell me when to take them out.
Yes. But if you can, use the stairs to a level that's not going to be as crowded. I've taken the stairs personally at Dragon Con in the Marriott Marquis, which is the tallest of all of the hotels in the Dragon Con suite of host hotels. It is 50-some-odd stories plus. Ooh. I've taken the stairs all the way up to about the 10th floor. I can do it. If you can do it, go to the 10th floor because the way the elevators are separated, there's only certain ones that run 10 and up, ones that run 1 to 10, they run like 10 to 20. So you have a better shot at getting one that's not going to be full. But yeah, if you can take the stairs, do it, please, for the sanity of everybody.
Learn the layout of the con. Yeah. If you can find the path less traveled, but it might take you a little bit longer. I know for quite a lot of times for Balticon, I would go outside and come back in rather than going through the snaky hallways, or I would go around the long way so that I didn't have to get through all of the crowded hallways and create more of a log jam. You know, just learning the cons layout. If there's escalators at your con, those are awesome, just so you know.
And there's also also be honest with your own mobility requirements, especially for cosplayers.
Yeah.
If
you're a Gundam suit wearer,
right? If you're wearing a 65-pound fiberglass Gundam suit, do not expect to get on the elevator with everybody else. Do not expect to be able to walk around all day in that costume, and really have honest, you know. Try your costume at home and try walking around for a while. Try walking up and down a flight of stairs and see what it's like, and then realize what it's going to be like with 80,000 other people around you asking for your picture every 8 seconds.
Warhammer 40K, guys.
Right. So, when I'm in the Clockwork Doctor costume, I know that my mobility is incredibly impaired. And if I'm wearing the beak, I cannot do stairs. Mm-hmm. I will not do stairs. I'm just too slow. So I take the beak off. I also know that the coat and the pants tend to be a trip hazard. So I really have to watch where I'm fully costumed and where I can take parts of the costume off. if that costume was any heavier, and it, you know, I want to make like full armor costumes and stuff, but you know, Maryland in May is pretty hot. I can only imagine how hot Atlanta gets in September. I'm not gonna, you know, my entire, you know, my own personal chapter of Space Marines Terminator armor would probably not best for a debut at Dragon Con. I'd probably find one in the winter in Canada to wear that to.
If you are like me and you are 6 foot three plus and, you know, 300 plus pounds,
you are the Brute Squad.
Use that to your advantage. People will get out of your way. So if there are people, there are, you know, some elderly people who have been coming to Balticon or whatever for years, need help getting through a crowd, be the bully boy.
Yes.
They will get out of your way. Park the sea for them. They will thank you for it and you'll feel better. And also see where you can see. So utilize that, okay?
Yeah.
Like, seriously.
Don't think of it as, well, that's somebody else's problem. Somebody will take care of them. Be that change.
Bro.
Yeah. We're all part of the community, and we need to help each other. So I think the last thing I want to talk about for attendees is I want to talk about be nice to all of the volunteers, to all of the staff, to all of the people that work at the hotel, who's working at the con, who's volunteering for the con, for the guests, everything. Most of these people are not getting paid. They are giving of their time. And even if you think, oh, they're being snotty to me, they might just be tired or frustrated and overworked. Be
or have
nice.
Resting face.
Or just have a resting snotty face. Yeah. So be as nice as you possibly can, because it's a hard thing, and they have given of their time for you. Here's a little inside baseball for you. Most of the people you see on panels, their tickets were comped, and that's about it. The guests of honor are the ones that tend to get their hotels paid for, and they might get an appearance fee depending on how big they are. Especially at smaller cons, a lot of times they're just paying for them to get there. So you need to realize that. The other inside baseball is for big media guests. Normally, those fees for autographs are how the con pays for their appearance fee, and it's how they get them there. It's not them being stingy. It's how they pay for them to come. So don't try to ask your media celebrities for autographs outside of those autograph sessions. And then we can move on to guesting.
They don't always set that price. That price is sometimes also set by their handler, their agent.
Mm-hmm.
Usually,
or the con.
They don't have much, you know, or the con.
Yeah.
But it's not the celebrity who, okay, maybe if they're William Shatner, but most of the time it's not set by the celebrity. And the celebrity knows, like, you can talk to them pretty much for free. Your time will probably be cut a little bit short, but you can usually, if there's not a huge line, just sit there and chat. I know Grace talk with, you know, before he got really huge, you know, Sean Astin and McCoy, she and her dad both like sat down with them at the Dragon Con at their tables because they weren't huge. Lord of the Rings hadn't come out. The Hobbit hadn't come out. And it was kind of a slow time at the Walk of Fame. So depending on when you go, talking can be free and can be quite extensive depending on how long the line is. But
yeah.
The price is not always set by the celebrity.
Yeah, it's very often not set by the celebrities. It has very much to do with paying for them to get there. I read Carrie Fisher's her last memoir, and it was called The Princess Diarist, and she talks a little bit about appearances and things like that. And basically, that's how she paid her bills. She could only pay her bills by going to cons. And so when people charged for pictures and autographs with her, you were paying her rent, which is an important thing. So now we're going to move on to being a guest. Now, how does one become a guest at a con?
One asks.
One typically goes through the paperwork.
You fake being an expert. Thanks for my anime knowledge.
Worked for me.
Yeah, it's
for me right now.
You know the panel track lead person, and you're somehow able to convince them to put you on a panel.
Yeah, that happens too. you need to ask, and you need to be persistent. And here's the thing, and this is a big deal that I am noticing, especially when you're going to a convention that seems to have new people in the positions every year. it's not the track runner dissing you or thinking you haven't contributed enough. It's that they're not seeing you asking to be on panels. That's why they're not picking you. They're not, most cons, they're not looking at these panel lists and thinking, oh, I should put this person on that and this person on that and this person on that. What they need is they need you to say, I'd like to be a panelist. And when you ask to be a panelist, suggest topics. When you contact the con, you need to say, I'd like to be, you know, I can offer these things for these panel tracks. And here are some panel ideas that I have. If you give them panel ideas, they'll likely put you on them. As a matter of fact, you may be the only person on them and you have to find other panelists. But get involved, ask around, ask what the other panels are, and kind of be a nudge.
So I'm going to play some real inside baseball here, given that I am now the
Careful.
Newly anointed anime track lead for Balticon this year. Here's the deal, to quote Stephen A. Smith from First Take. For those of you out there who be thinking, hey, man, I would love to be on an anime podcast, blah, 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 blah. Would you freaking tell me or the person in charge? Because here's the deal. We can't read minds, baby. We don't know what you're into. If you don't tell us, we don't know. Do you know how many times I've been asked this?
Why don't we have this panel? Why don't we have this panel? Because no one asked about it.
No stupid questions. There's no stupid suggestions. Because if there is one person who likes it,
there's more.
And if you think, oh, but I haven't written anything and I haven't done anything to deserve to be on a panel, like, nobody's going to want to listen to me because nobody knows who I am. Well, that's when you got to listen to my boy Jason, because he was on panels before he had a podcast, I think.
Anime panels, yes, I was.
Yes, you were. Yes, and that's the thing. If you know about something and you are passionate about it, you have something to offer. You can go out there and say, this is what I know about. This is what I can bring to it. Mm. Because we don't want to see the same panel with the same faces every single year. That's boring. So you need to liven it up. You need to bring some around. Bill says in the chat, another thing is, find your local cons and put yourself out into the local scene. If you've got a con locally,
absolutely,
join that organization that puts the con on. If I lived in Maryland, I'd be part of the Baltimore Science Fiction Society.
Absolutely.
And I'd be involved as much as I could be.
We'd probably be on the board. We'd probably be planning this thing, and we'd be pulling our hair out year round.
And everybody would hate us.
And everyone would hate us, because that's just the type of people we are. We joined a community radio station, and within a year, you were on the board, and I was on the executive. We joined a martial arts club on this base, and now I'm the president of the club. I'm testing for my black belt in a month, and you are probably soon to become the secretary treasurer. I know.
No.
No. But if I could tell a story from last year.
Go ahead.
We had a guest at Balticon last year who was on all the military panels. He had experience
2 years ago. Two years ago, yeah.
And he...
Please don't.
Don't name names.
I won't name names, but it was a disaster. He was sexist and misinformed. Anyway, this guy was bad, and he starts off as... one of the panels was on militaries of the future and how they would look, and he's the only panelist. And he gets up there, and he's how to write believable militaries. And everyone in the room is a military buff or a historian of some kind. And he starts off his whole thing with, well, you know, they talk about military intelligence being a bad thing. And he starts off with these canned jokes and this bad informed stuff. And you could see all the vets putting up their hands in the audience to just start to correct him. And near the end of his panel, I said, you know, the only thing that I like more than writing about the military or, you know, being in the military is talking about me being in the military. So if you would like to know more about what military life is like, I'll be in the bar after this. I drink Ryan 7. Come find me. Within 15 minutes of the end of that panel, I had a bigger crowd around my table than he had at his panel.
Ouch.
Yeah.
And we sat around, and then all of a sudden I realized that around my table I've got, I'm an Army vet, there's another Army vet, an Air Force vet, a CIA analyst, somebody who works at the Pentagon, a military historian, somebody working on their PhD, and the drinks start flowing, the stories start telling, and then we were there for an extra 3 hours going around the bar of...
Hey, we got rather drunk with those fellows.
I did. And I had an amazing time. I had one of the greatest times at the con there. And we even had an author come up to us and goes, hey, you guys are the people that were there at the military panel? Yeah, we were. He goes, well, I write military sci-fi. Would you guys like copies of my book? I'm like,
yes.
Yeah, please. Absolutely. And he goes, well, here, you can have all three books in my trilogy. And he hands me these beautifully printed books. I'm like, would you mind signing them for me? Mm-hmm. I got autographed copies of this dude's books. They're on my shelf right now. I wish I'd read them.
As a panelist, there's a couple of things that you want to avoid. Number one, if you go to a panel and you say, I don't know why I'm here, don't go to the panel. Just don't go. Do not go to the panel and tell me you don't know why you're there. Or do not go to a panel and say, I don't like this topic. I'm going to change it to this. Do not do that.
I hate those.
Do not do that.
I love those panelists. I love those panelists. Nah.
Yeah, because you are alienating your audience. You do not want to alienate the audience. If you're a moderator, you don't get to change the panel. Okay. If you went to the panel, and this happened to me last year, I suggested a panel. I gave a full description of what the panel was. When I got to the panel, I realized everybody who was in the audience and everybody on the panel had a different idea of what the panel was about. My idea was I thought the panel was about having the listener in mind while creating the podcast. What it actually was a panel for people who are fans of podcasts and for listening to podcasts. I had to change gears. I couldn't keep the panel about what I had put as the panel idea. Even though it was my panel idea, that's not what people were there for. You got to switch gears. And
Were you not put as the moderator?
No, because I wanted to talk about the topic. But that's okay, because the audience was there for a different idea. That's fine. You switch to what the audience wants. They're the ones that are coming to your panel. It's not about you. It's about the audience. It's about informing them. So you need to make sure you're doing that. You need to make sure you're not talking over your fellow panelists, which I saw an egregious thing happen at New York Comic Con happen. You don't want to do that. You want to make sure everybody gets a chance to speak. And if you're all talking around and somebody hasn't spoken in a while, and even if the moderator doesn't point it out, you might want to go, I'd love to hear from Jax. I mean, he's been kind of quiet lately.
This
is where all of you have a disadvantage, have me at a disadvantage. I have actually never been on a panel.
That's okay.
I came close last year before I had ended up having a conflict, so I dropped off of it. The Tolkien track had Tolkien lore and video games, in which I would have probably been the only one on the panel, which didn't have an issue with Shadow of Mordor and its non-canon issue. But I have my father-in-law and my wife Grace, you know, and my father-in-law Doug. Doug used to do his own fan film panel for the Tolkien track, and you know, he stayed on track. He always had, you know, he had his list. But Grace has been on panels where basically panelists and moderators have tried to hijack it. She's like, this is what I want it to be. It's like, that's not what the panel description is. That's not what about 85% of the people in this panel were expecting. Stop. You're the moderator. You are to keep us on track and to prevent us from going on ridiculously long tangents and to make sure we stay within our time slot and actually have time for Q&A afterwards.
Exactly.
And, along with that as well, I think the most obnoxious one is panel jacking from the audience.
Mm-hmm.
When we give you the opportunity to ask questions, and we really want your questions.
Mm-hmm.
If you get to ask a question and I give you an answer, it doesn't make you a panelist, and it doesn't mean that you automatically get the next question and the next question and the next question. And if you start butting in from the audience, thinking that you're now a panelist because you got a chance. No, don't do that. No, you get a question, and I've done it myself. I've panel jacked a friend of mine's panel, and I felt really, really bad for it. Sorry, Jason. I was gooned, and it was midnight.
That was a good time, and it was definitely a hentai panel. But either way.
Yeah, absolutely. I was totally there at a hentai panel. But don't panel jack. Like if you're there in the audience and you get to ask a question, ask a question. And please ask questions. That's what they're there for. They want to hear your questions. They want to give you the answers. But do not think that that entitles you to any more.
Yeah. Bill says in the chat, been there, done that. It's on video. So I want to move on to the next bit is moderators. Okay. Here's the thing. Every panel is supposed to have a moderator. If you are the moderator, your job is to not be the one speaking. You're supposed to be corralling. There we go. You're supposed to be corralling people. You're supposed to be keeping people on topic. You're supposed to
active listening.
Yeah. Do the active listening. You're not supposed to be the one presenting. And so the old joke is everybody gets to a panel and says, who's the moderator? If you say who's the moderator, you're the moderator. Now, there are caveats. For instance, Nutty Bites, I'm listed as the moderator. It's my podcast. I'm going to talk. Okay. It's named after me. I'm going to talk. Things like that.
Moderator Nutty.
Huh?
It's your show. That's why I put you as the moderator. Yeah. It's your show. Me and Tech are just slaves in your giant web of intrigue and plot.
But on a general, like, for instance, I'll just use podcasting 101 as an example. The moderator is not supposed to be the one presenting. They're supposed to be corralling. They're supposed to be keeping people on track and making sure that we have time for Q&A at the end. And that's really important also. And a good moderator is golden, and not everybody can moderate. I found out last year I can. That was cool. I was able to not take part in a conversation about A Song of Ice and Fire, which was a lot of self-restraint on my part, if I say so myself, which I just did.
I watched it. Still pretty happy.
Oh, yeah. You did come to that panel, didn't you?
I did. I haven't watched a single episode of the show. Haven't read a single book. Still doing fine.
And I was able to manage somebody who was trying to panel jack and talk over other people. So that's really important. So as a guest, you need to be proactive in getting there. You need to be proactive in when you're on the panel. You need to, if you have the ability to listen to panels that you've been on, listen to them and self-critique. Did I talk too much? Did I not talk enough? Did I talk over people? How did I perform? And improve your performance, much like you would if you were on a podcast. Podcasters listen to your own podcasts. So now I want to move on to interviewing.
Real quick, Nettie,
if I may. Go.
For both moderators and panelists, particularly if you're at a larger con, I know this is for Dragon Con, there is typically a volunteer working that room.
Yes.
If that volunteer gives you a 5-minute sign, you probably want to stop talking and see if you can get some Q&A. You want that audience interaction. You should pay attention to the volunteer or room person in charge saying, you have 5 minutes left. Listen to them. There are other people outside wanting to go to the next panel, and there are people that don't want to be there or want to get into the panel and have been waiting probably for the past hour, depending on how large your panel room is or how small it is, that they want to guarantee themselves a slot. So be mindful of how much time you have left and how much time you're being told. And when you're done, wrap it up. Don't be like, we got one more question. It's like, no, you have time for one more question? Great. If you have no more time, no more questions. Tell them you can meet me outside at the bar. You can meet me somewhere else. We can continue the discussion outside the panel.
You can always meet me outside at the bar. I will always volunteer for that. You
know, Jack's way for slamming down the knowledge. That is awesome.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. And, you know, me and Tech, when we get together, we love being rambunctious and talking over Nutty and being douchebags because we can't. Of a bit, right? Like, whenever we get together, this is what we do, right? Like,
yeah, you guys think it's bad on the podcast? Oh,
we're so much better live.
Nope.
We're so much better live.
But it's a lot better live, people. Trust me.
No.
You know, and that's why Tech is her, you know, antagonist. It's why I harass Jen all the time, you know, and it's why I forcibly make us argue, because it's a bit, right? But if people are coming to see you and they may not have, and it's not specifically your podcast, right?
Yeah.
Like, this isn't a Talk Nerdy to Me thing or a Nutty Bites thing, then try to limit that, because they may not know. They may be new.
Yeah.
Like, that may be a new listener or a new person. So you have to take every angle of your audience into consideration. They could be longtime listeners, new people, or just somebody literally coming because their friend drug them here, like, hey, you got to check this out. So you have to take all that into consideration. So maybe don't get as blue as you would around a live late night, midnight cast where Tech drops the N-bomb and I laughed my butt off.
Did I?
Nope. Never happened. Never happened. Okay. So, and lastly, the last thing I want to talk about as a guest, you need to be nice to your track coordinators. They are volunteering their time and they are spending 6 months to a year on this thing and they are getting daily emails.
Or you could be like me and it's been maybe 3 months.
Right. Or maybe 3 months and you've got to scramble at the end of it. Now,
so it's not an easy job. It's never going to be done perfectly.
They're not doing anything to you personally. No. They don't mean to cause you inconvenience. They don't mean to upset you. They really want to help you the best that they can, but they also have full-time jobs and their own projects of writing and podcasting and whatever else that they do. So try to be patient with them. Buy them a drink if you see them. Give them a hug if you're the hugging type and they're the hugging type. Again, consent, always consent. But thank them, you know, thank them for the hard work they did. And I'll tell you, there's a particular con that we were part of and there was a particular coordinator that it seemed was really going out of their way to screw things up. But you know what? In the end, we still thank that person. We are still thankful for the work that that person did because whether or not they ran it the way that you wanted them to do it, they dedicated their own personal time and worked as hard as they could.
And I don't think I could have done it better. So
yeah, no. And I'm not willing to.
No, absolutely not. No, I have my own life with my own friends and my own keys. I don't need... that's a great geek reference. If anyone wants to plug into the chat or somewhere else, if they know where I got that joke from, I don't need that much aggravation in my life. These people have volunteered their own time to take on that aggravation. Thank you very much for all the hard work you do to make these things happen. And if something happened to you personally, sorry.
Yeah.
Try to make it better next year. No. Maybe there's an after action report. Maybe there's some type of like critique or some type of like form that you can fill to say that, hey, you know, having all of my panels happen at 3 a.m. was kind of a bad thing. Maybe we couldn't let that happen next year. Or, hey, you put me opposite Jason Banks, which sucks because he's the love of my life and my man crush, and I kind of wanted to be in his sexy presence, but I couldn't because I was on a bunch of panels. Or Jax is my QA guy, and he was away at these other panels, and he couldn't be there to tell me to stop saying swear words, and I didn't know what to do, so I just swore for 45 minutes. Maybe write those down. Maybe it'll help them do a better job next year.
And you reminded me, when you are guesting, don't overdo it. You want to help out.
Know your limits.
You want to help out. You want to do all that you can for the con. But if you're not an early riser, don't do a 7 a.m. panel. If you can't stay up past 11, don't do a midnight panel. Make sure you only do as many hours as you possibly can. And make sure that they know, hey, guess what? I need breaks so I can get food. And if they've overbooked you, say something.
Yeah, Jason, what's your record for hours in the anime room? Like, you got burnt out on that.
Yeah, that was you as a volunteer.
So, this is a whole lot of inside baseball, right? We'll start with last year. I'm sorry, not last year, but the year before and some of last year. Balticon for the last few years has been short on volunteers, meaning to do a DVD ran anime room, meaning you have to have somebody there to watch the physical disc library and to change the discs. You need volunteers. They haven't had enough. Quite a few hours, 10 plus hours, and over a 4-day con, that's a whole lot. That's, you know, 4 and 6 hour stretches. Here's the real rub. Jin put in more than I did. When I got scheduled on panels, but I still had to cover the anime room, she covered my shift and her shift. She put in almost twice as much as I did.
Wow.
Because she's Wonder Woman. And
she is Wonder Woman. And here's the deal. If you are a con attendee working the con, if you can volunteer, because I know specifically for Balticon, if you do it, badge next year if you work enough hours. And if you're one of those people that come in and help them in an emergency situation, meaning they're not like currently right now this year, we don't have enough volunteers. We need them. So that's why I'm spilling those beans. We need volunteers. And so if you come and help us out when we need you, you know, or when we don't, it brings you to our attention.
Yeah.
So we can help you out and secure you things that we wouldn't normally be able to do or have right to do because you went above and beyond the call. And I'm not saying do that all the time.
Yeah.
But yeah. It helps. And, you know, then, you know, last year we switched hotels, volunteers, Jen stepped up, I stepped up. And it helps. You know, you can see when things go wrong. And instead of, you know, complaining, and this sucks, see if you can help out. If you can, you'll get rewards for it. I promise you. Students out there that are big enough douchebags to be like, oh, you volunteered 7 or 8 hours or whatever. We're not giving you nothing for it. Usually you'll probably get into that con for free. Real talk. Yeah. Like that's super real talk, right?
And if you are one of those people that you want to get close, like you're going to a big con and they need volunteers, that's how you meet those guests that you wouldn't normally get access to. You volunteer, you're going to see guests. So you're going to a con and you want to interview people. Don't just walk up and ask people for interviews. You can't do that. Whoa. You might be able to do that if that's how the con is run. So you gotta contact the con and you gotta say,
Or if you're a no name, because my first AFO, I was a no name.
Yeah.
I didn't have a podcast really. Have a podcast page. I think I maybe had 30 people on the podcast that liked it at that point. And so I couldn't really get a press badge.
No.
You know, any Joe Schmo can run up and be like, hey, I got a YouTube channel. Give me a press pass. And so I literally had to go to every signing. I had to go to every specified panel for these guests whom I had not already set up a time to interview them. I also had to give and set up a time way to record them while I did it. That hotel sucked for interviews because I literally had to interview Debbie Derryberry, the voice of Jimmy Neutron, in a con hallway with thousands of people around us.
We've done that
with a press pass, dude. So
I don't think anybody realized that we're doing it, but what I'm getting to
we interviewed Lard D'Souza in a hallway while Billy D. Williams walked by. We had to stop the interview and just watch Billy D. Williams walk by, and Lard D'Souza looks at us
to get to the washroom.
Right. And Lard D'Souza looks at us and goes, man, if I could fart on cue, now would be the time.
You have those situations as a person who is supposed to be doing press. You can't overwhelm you. You still have to hold and maintain that professionalism, even if you're me and you're going through the skin of your teeth to make this happen. You have to act like you are a pro.
Yeah. So and here's go ahead.
Fake it till you make it.
Yeah. Fake it till you make it is saying, great. Fake it. All right. So Shane just popped in. And Shane, we are now talking about what you're interested in. That's interviewing people. If you can, contact the con. Because if you go to Dragon Con and you stand online for an autograph with Felicia Day and think you can interview her on your Zoom mic, that's not going to happen.
Good luck with that.
That is not going to happen. And there are some cons that you could get kicked out for stuff like that. So try to contact them ahead of time. Jason, what'd you say?
A lot of my ad hoc interview stuff was because it was a small con.
Yeah.
At small cons, you have a lot more things.
Yeah.
But also at small cons, they generally don't have press passes. I know most small cons don't. So if you approach them as a person who says, you know, I'm slightly a part of the media, you know, I've got a YouTube channel, a Facebook page, you know, and I would like to get some interviews with them or at least get some bumpers. That's kind of how I started. I kind of cheated, right? I told them I was getting bumpers, but I got more than that.
So, you contact people and you say, I'd like to do interviews. Is it possible? And they'll know whether or not the guests can do it. For instance, we had press passes to HalCon. There was no way we were interviewing Billy D. Williams. He does not do interviews. It's just not happening. But we did get some really awesome interviews with Robert J. Sawyer and Lard D'Souza and Monte Cook. And it was awesome. And it was wonderful. And it was great. And the Lar one, we had to end up hustling because they couldn't. We were dealing with the whole fire code thing. They couldn't coordinate with everyone. And it was, well, these people are okay if you approach them. And so I went to their booths and I was like, you let me know when this time is going to happen. We're going to do this recording. And we did that. And it was awesome. If you're just recording bumpers, you can normally ask people at a booth. You can say, oh, can you, you know, record Nutty Bites, the best podcast in the universe. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Or whatever stupid thing that you want them to say.
I'm Jason Banks, and this is my favorite podcast on the Citadel.
Exactly.
or it could be Richard Epcar sending out a special notice to Nutty Bites.
Yes, yes. Mm. And then he loves me. Because he does.
God, that's still probably my second favorite. It's a tie between that and Paul Schreier and Peter and Jason Harvey, the interview.
That was a good interview too. So there's lots of different ways that you can do it. You can present yourself, you know, especially if you're a podcaster, you can say, I am a podcaster. Can I get a press pass? Or what are your interview rules? And you just follow what the con tells you to do and you'll be fine. I could walk through New York Comic Con and I could ask people in the dealer's room to record things. If you want to interview con attendees, you normally don't need to ask permission for that and you're going to be fine. That's something that...
Well, you do need to ask permission of the person you're trying to interview.
Yeah, that you can't just record a conversation that you have. Don't be creepy. That's number one rule. Don't be creepy. But that's something that NCAF did for the radio station at Anna Maritime is he was just interviewing people on the outside. And that was awesome. And that is definitely something that you want to get the atmosphere and all of that. But so my tip, my personal tip, and maybe each of us can give a tip for interviewing at a con. Think of a question that person isn't being asked by everybody else. Because everyone else is asking, how do you like Halifax? Everybody else is asking, you know, tell us about your latest project. Everybody else is asking, what was it like to be on Deep Space Nine?
Especially because, what's it like to actually use a teleporter? Well, Nichelle Nichols doesn't know that because she didn't use one. No. But, there's the typical canned questions, and this is something that I pride myself on is asking those off the wall questions. When I worked at the radio station, I got the very rare opportunity. I got to interview Mario Andretti, the driver of the century, multiple driver of the decade, the only guy to win, you know, Indy Le Mans and a Formula One race. He's just a hero of mine, and I get to sit down with an F1 world champion. And I get to ask him anything.
Schumacher.
Andretti's better than Schumacher. You're not going to be able to interview Schumacher.
Right. So, but you know what? It'd be like, you know, I get to interview Andretti, and that's enough. But I get to ask him anything. So I start off with the questions like, "What's it? So, is this your first time in Atlantic Canada? What do you think of Fredericton? Wow, what are your memories of races in Canada? Okay, I'm going to stop asking those questions now and I'm going to geek out. If you could link any three corners from any three famous racetracks together to make the perfect stretch of road, what would your corner be? Hey, now that your grandson is racing, what's it like to watch him race? Or when I start asking him questions about his twin brother Aldo and the accident that they had in the 60s which ended his twin brother's racing career, how did that affect you and your racing? Or are you afraid? And what would you rather do? Go three wide at Talladega, do an F1 start, or jumping over the hills on a Baja 1000? What would you rather do now? And I start asking these questions.
Wait. You gotta share the best question.
Hmm?
The corner that's named for him.
Oh, so there's a corner at a racetrack in California, Laguna Seca, that is named for Mario Andretti. It's the Andretti hairpin. It's a double apex left-hander at the bottom of a hill. It's a tricky corner. So I said, what's it like to race at Seca and hit your corner and miss the line? What do you do when you miss your own corner? And then he starts talking. Immediately, he goes to the racer excuses, right? He's like, oh, well, you know, it's a very tricky corner. It's a downhill double apex left-hander, and it leads into this high-speed section, so you have to carry speed through and all these things. I said, yeah, so what's it like when you miss? He's like, well, you hope nobody notices, but you notice.
And my favorite thing about that story is everybody had 5 minutes to interview him. It was a press junket. Everybody had five minutes.
I got 13.
Yeah. And they were trying to push him through. And Mario's like, no. These are good questions. He wanted to stay in the interview. When you ask interesting questions, you might end up getting more time. Do your research, come up with creative questions, and you'll be remembered. And I'll tell you, this also works for podcasting, mm-hmm. because when somebody's doing a press junket and they've got, you know, a half hour back to back for 8 hours and they're going from podcast to podcast to podcast, and then they get to your podcast and instead of hearing the same old questions, you ask them a couple questions about their project and then you say, okay, now we're going to talk about our favorite fictional music band. What? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then the next time they have a press junket, they say, yeah, can I get back on that show again? That was fun.
It's when you got to... And yeah, that was really cool. Yeah. When you got a chance to ask a question to Richard Epcar, who is known for, if you don't know, known for his incredibly deep baritone, beautiful voice, the sexy male voice that he's got. And you asked a question to his wife, mm-hmm. asking her if she fell in love with his voice first, if it helped. And what was the answer again?
The answer was, I love you, Nutty. That was definitely... So this is Jason's story. Jason has a great plan. I love what your plan is. Because you got to do your research on people, right? Mm. So you do your research, you find out your information. What Jason tends to do is he's got his people, and then he'll go to groups that he's got friends in, and he says, I'm going to be interviewing these people. You have 3 days to give me some good questions. And then his friends give him good questions. And when he asks them, they're different.
And the reason why I do this is because here's the deal. I'm not an egotist, right? I can't think of everything. Okay. So much easier. Also, if you can find awesome guests like Richard Epcar and Ellen Stern, aka Mrs. Epcar and Mr. Epcar.
No, Mrs. Epcar and Mr. Stern.
Exactly. You're right. You get them tired because, by the way, no offense, you will never hear these outtakes, but I will treasure them forever.
I think I heard some
outtake of that interview. Oh my God. If you ever hear me and Jen make the joke about brooms on the podcast, it's from that. It was great.
That the other thing is, you wanted to interview Richard Epcar, but he was going to be there with his wife. So what did you do? You said, can I interview the two of them? And you asked her questions about her projects, and you asked him questions about his projects, and you made sure it was not a one-sided interview.
The funny thing is, you know what? I love Richard Epcar, and I'm not shortchanging him in any way, because he had a in soap operas, and he's Bato, obviously, from Ghost in the Shell. And I'm, matter of fact, I was watching a show on Netflix that has him in it. But his wife did some stuff that is culturally significant.
Mm-hmm.
She was the art director, or the voice director, for translating Star Wars into not the Navajo language. And that fed into their very own voice work studio that they created together. And so is that
there's a Navajo Star Wars?
Yeah. She's the
wicked
for that. She directed the voice actor translating that. That's what's awesome about Ellen Stern.
Yeah,
right?
She's really interesting.
It's amazing.
And so when we had Anna Silk at the radio station for Epic, she was coming into town to visit her mom because that's where she's from. Anna Silk is the main character from Lost Girl. And she grew up in Fredericton. She was coming into town, and she was coming into town with her husband. And so when they showed up at the studio, and we had a chair waiting for her husband, who's also an actor, he was very surprised. He was like, oh, you want to include me? Because he's not nearly as famous as she is. And he's kind of used to just standing off to the side. And he's like, no, we want to include you. So when we'd ask questions, we made sure to include him. It wasn't just about her work. We talked about the Hamsa Boys, his old Hebrew boy band. But we also included him in the conversation, and we had a much richer conversation out of it. So if you're interviewing somebody and they've got a spouse, a significant other, or their kid, include them if you can, and they will be invested in that conversation.
Yes, because it makes them feel far more comfortable mm-hmm. than if it's just them under the spotlight. When they kind of have that safety net of someone they know so intimately and so, you know, just intrinsically normally, right? Like they can be themselves around this person because they're themselves around this person all the time. That allows them to be that way with you because they're there. It's that support network, right? That's,
yep.
It's that, again, that's safety net. And I know, like I said, Richard Epcar and his wife are super tired. They've been doing interviews and talking to people all day, but they sat down with us. Matter of fact, he even said before we started, I never got to record it. He says, you know, I promised you I would record with you because you had talked to me way earlier in the day. So I'm still going to do it. He admitted that he's like, look, man, I'm really tired, but I'm still going to do it. And it ended up being one of the best interviews I've ever done. And what was really good about it is that those two, like, if you go and listen to that interview, they bicker. Like, because he will say some stuff, and then she'll be like, well,
it's not so much an interview as it's a conversation. And that's a lot more interesting to me, at least. That's why I don't normally do interviews on this show. It's more interesting to have a conversation than to have an interview. Mm-hmm. And that's another thing. So if you get a press pass, and we've had this happen to us a couple of times, a press pass is pretty cool. If you get a press pass, make sure you try to coordinate with the organizers so that you can actually get interviews. Just because you have a press pass doesn't mean you're going to get interviews. So you got to coordinate. Here's my little tip in how to get in good there. The organizers, they give you press passes because they want you to give them free advertising for their convention. So what you do is you say, can I interview you also? And you interview somebody who works at the con as well, so that you can talk to them about the con and they can put all the information out there that they want to tell the world about their convention. If you can make that personal connection, you are very likely to get other interviews with attendees, with their special guests, and actually air that interview. Don't just record them to make them feel good.
I'm absolutely wonderfully glad you brought that up because one of the reasons why I think I get a press pass to AFO when I apply for one is because the husband and wife duo that run that convention, I have met them. And the wife had been in a wheelchair for some time going through the con because she just couldn't walk and handle that much traveling and moving around. So she had been in like a little like hover around, like motorized thing. And that's where I first met her. And we kind of hit it off with a joke where I was like, well, where's your husband? And she goes, well, he's playing Die Hard somewhere trying to get the tech right. And since that night, whenever I go to AFO, I talk to them, I see them, and I ask them questions about the interview and stuff like that. I've even asked them to be interviewed. Could I talk to them about how it is to run a convention from the top, right? Like, because we all see it on the ground level. We all see the track runners. We all see the volunteers. But what goes behind it all when you're the man, right? Like, when you're the one that has to get this stuff rolling. And I've not been able to do that yet because they're an older couple and, you know, they do things. But I think they found it different and invigorating and promising. The fact that a guy was like, well, I'm interviewing all these famous people, but can I interview you? Yeah. Because you guys want to make this real. You guys make this come to life. And crazy enough, they remember me. They see 4,000 plus people every year. AFO's been going for this will be the 17th year it's been running by these guys, and they've seen 4,000 plus people since its inception, if not more. But yet, I know them personally. They remember me personally. Matter of fact, I have on more than one occasion been given special areas to do interviews.
So
I know them.
So just a tip, if you actually want to nail that interview, you should do a Skype interview with them after AFO. Is over.
I don't even know if I'd want to risk asking about AFO afterwards. I'm pretty sure there's like a small window. Maybe
you gotta give them like some space, some breathing space. But yeah, it's like I would never try to ask anything of the tech guy or the tech people at Balticon because they are just too busy and they are awesome and always needing volunteers and help. But after the fact, we can have good conversations.
So I think the big tip that I'm hearing in everything that we've been discussing so far is ask.
Yeah, ask.
Talk to people.
Yeah.
And yeah, okay, some of these people are really intimidating, especially when we build up celebrities to such a, oh my God, it's James Marsters, it's Spike himself. He'll never want to talk to me. Oh my God, it's Mario Andretti, the F1 superstar. He's never going to to want to talk to me.
Oh my gosh, it's the Clockwork Doctor. Walking Death.
It's Nutty from the Nutty Bites podcast. She's never going to talk to me. No, yes, we will.
Yeah.
We absolutely will. You just ask.
Yeah.
The worst I'll say is no, or not right now, I'm drunk. Because that usually happens with me at cons. It's like, I'm pretty smashed. Come find me tomorrow at about 4 p.m. when I wake up, and we can talk.
Find me when I'm not so gone.
Right, absolutely. Or if you want to have a really funny, slurry conversation about the bumper integrity of a Volvo C70, we can talk about this, redacted. Oh my God, I miss Tony Miller at cons.
One thing you guys missed was, if you get a press pass or if you get accepted as a guest, have the confidence of that role.
Yes. Be professional
that
role.
Don't shortchange yourself by being too nerdly. Even the fact that you were chosen as press or chosen as a guest, you have certain things that you can do as that. As a press person, I have the ability to go up to guests with, you know, if I'm given the proper moment, and ask them, hey, I would love to interview you. You know, specifically being, I could not fit a time in outside of his lunch period for Aaron Dismuke, who was the original voice of the Alphonse Elverkin, the Full Metal Alchemist. So you know what he did? I got to have lunch with this dude, and it was amazing. It had one of the best jokes on my podcast ever. But I had to fit in a schedule with him and have lunch with him because that was the only time I could.
Yeah,
and he was accommodating, and he allowed it to happen, and so I had to change my schedule and tell the girls, "Hey, I can't photo you guys, you know, shoot you guys in the photos this time because I've got to sit down with so and so." And so you have to be accommodating, but you also have to understand that you have to ask these things. If you're too timid about your questions, or if you're too tentative, you won't get anywhere. You do have to be assertive, not rude, not be a douchebag. Yeah. But you have to let them know, hey, this is what I'm here for. I'm not here just fanboying or fangirling. I would love to talk to you about such.
Carpe diem.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. That goes a long way versus, could you, make it possible?
And, you find out the time. Okay, I'm going to be recording an interview with this person. Awesome. If you can check out a panel of theirs, go to it ahead of time. You go to that interview, and if you don't get a time, you make sure you find one, or you talk to the person, you figure something out, you be flexible, but you go after it. Don't feel like, oh, I'm pestering them, they don't want me here. You know, don't make up the no's in your head. If they're going to tell you no, they're going to tell you no, and it's fine. And then you can have a great interview. You can do everything awesome. Then you can have the microphones turn off and then tell somebody that they ruined second ed D&D, which really would have been good on microphone. And they will remember you for next time.
To tell that story briefly, we got to interview Monty Cook, the guy that wrote D&D 3.0 and 3.5. And at the end of the interview, when the microphone gets shut off and we're shaking hands, I shake Monty Cook's hand and said, "My hero has always been David Zeb Cook, the guy that wrote Second Ed D&D. There was nothing wrong with it. You ruined D&D for me. But now that I've met you, you're a pretty cool guy. And I kind
of
like you."
Yeah, I think it was like, I always thought of you as the guy that ruined D&D. Yeah, you're actually pretty cool.
You were always the guy that ruined D&D for me, because David Zeb Cook did a great job with AD&D, and we didn't need 3.0, but you're kind of a cool guy. And his eyes just went wide as saucers. And then he started laughing, and we shook hands, and we had a cool kind of moment. I wish we had it on camera or film or recording.
And there's Ensign Harry Kim right behind you, which you didn't see, who just like was in the middle of a conversation, because this was in the green room, middle of a conversation, mouth drops, eyes open. Did he just say that? And the green room went quiet.
Oh, and Billy Dee Williams is in the corner trying to eat a sandwich.
Yeah.
Cojones, man. Sometimes you just gotta snap.
But you do that when the microphone is on. We said that we would talk about things. Batteries, extra batteries, backup batteries, alternate batteries, extra cables. Hit record twice. That's very important. Mm-hmm. If you have multiple recording devices,
use them all.
Use them all.
Then find somebody else with one more and use that one too.
When we recorded Lar and and Monty and Robert J. Sawyer, we had four different recorders on the table. And a couple of them failed. Mm-hmm. So, like, there was one that we had four recorders on the table and only two recorded.
H2N, I support this mic whole.
Oh, it's a great mic. But if you forget to hit record, or you run out of space, or your battery dies, there's nothing you can do about it.
You have an H4, don't you?
No, I have an H2.
We had H4s at the radio station.
Yeah, we had H4s at the radio station. We are no longer local to the radio station. So at the time, we had an H4N. We had two H2s.
And your phone, I think, was the last
no,
one.
No. It was either the original Zoom mic or it was NCAF's iRiver. I can't remember. But there was one like really flimsy looking one that was on the table. I think it was his iRiver, the old workhorse of podcasters. And it was awesome. But we salvaged recordings, you know. And so redundancy is very important. So if you're recording, have multiple recording devices if possible. And that's it.
The usual, water is your friend. Drink often and drink plenty of it.
Disinfectant.
Yes, alcohol is
wash your
alcohol
hands.
Is great, but you will dehydrate if you do not go one for one with water. Yeah.
I always keep a water bottle on me. Many conventions will have water in the rooms or in the hallways. Make sure that you replenish your water bottle. But I am always bringing a water bottle with me, and I am drinking up a storm. And you know what? If you sit there going, oh, but this means I'm going to have to go to the bathroom and I'm going to miss panels. Don't worry. You won't have to go to the bathroom that much. That's how much you need the water.
Here's a text top tip.
Yep.
If your water bottle is opaque, let's say made of spun aluminum and hung from your belt,
you can have like fun Kool-Aid, right?
Right. You could absolutely fill the thing with booze and
or Kool-Aid,
and security will never know until you hand the bottle to the security guy at the 11 p.m. hentai panel, who then takes a drink from it, calls it pretty good, and lets you stay. Because that security guy is pretty awesome.
Don't be obviously publicly intoxicated.
No,
you could get arrested for public drunkenness.
You know,
what'd you say, Jax?
First off,
I asked
can
Jax.
And in some cases will get you thrown out of the car.
Yes, yeah. Yes,
absolutely. And I joke a lot about my intoxication, and I do enjoy a good drink like everyone else, but there is a difference between having a nice gloss from one or two good pints, one or two good drinks, and being that guy vomiting down the front of somebody else's costume.
There's also the difference between, you know, getting a little tipsy with your friends at the end of the night at a con and being the guy completely drunk at 10 a.m.
Sure.
Yeah.
And, you know, watch that line, because security knows the line and they will kick you out when you cross it. And don't be mad when they do. They're doing their job.
Yeah.
So know the line.
Atlanta PD knows when you're drunk.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And yeah, if they have to call in the boys in blue, the guys with the guns on their hips, because you've done something wrong, guess what? Now's the time to stop fighting and just go.
And there is a difference between you are drinking at a convention that's at in a hotel that you're staying at, and a convention that is not attached to a hotel, not so cool, or that you're not staying there and then you're just gonna like think you can pass out in the lobby. That's not cool either. You need to make sure that you have a way home safely.
On that note,
yeah,
drunk at a con or buzzed at a con is very different than high at a con.
Yeah.
And if you think that you can like walk around full of drugs or holding drugs,
be careful.
Yeah.
I would recommend
not.
Yeah. No, these things are important. There's a new concept. Actually, I completely forgot about this. There is a new concept that's been going around, and it's called either ghosting a con or full on just bar con or anti conning or whatever it's called, where you
lobby
go to
conning.
Lobby conning. Yeah. Where you go to a con and you don't pay and you still partake in pretty much everything, and it's really tacky if you then try to sell your wares. Not cool.
Well, that's horrible.
Yeah. If you've got friends who are going to be at a convention and you want to stop by and see them, that's totally cool. You don't need to pay for a press badge to come in, hang out in the lobby, you know, see your friends, whatever. But you start going to panels, you start trying to sell things, you go into the dealer's room, you're stealing. So pay for your badge.
I will, if you can somehow get past the volunteers who are meticulously checking for your badge, I will applaud you, but at the same time, I will sucker punch you.
Well, there's some cons that, you know, there's for instance, at Balticon, the only place they check is the dealer's room.
Yeah.
Like I said, this is where small con, big con varies. Yeah. Dragon Con, they're checking at every door.
Yeah.
You've got hotel staff, and San Diego Comic Con, good luck. New York Comic Con, good luck. Same thing. Smaller con, big con, but
like yeah. I will point you out to security if I don't see a badge on you and you're somewhere where you shouldn't be. I will save the physical violence for when you do something real bad. If you touch someone that doesn't want to be touched, I'll take the assault charge because earned it.
I can start a GoFundMe on any of the social media pages, and I guarantee you, I'll get it paid off from social from
What were you going to say, Jason?
You didn't touch on this, but for fellas and ladies out there who see a cosplayer doing the cosplay they love and want to meet, take a picture, and hug them, okay to hug them? Freaking hug them. Don't hover.
Yes. No hover hand. Awkward.
And if anyone needs a description of the hover hand, it's when you see the real pretty girl who's in charge of that podcast that you love so much. Oh my God, I finally get a picture with Nutty. This is the most amazing time ever. I'm getting a picture with Nutty. Oh my God, I get to touch her.
And
you go for the photo, and you can only do this.
Oh God!
Okay, so for listeners at home, Tech just came really close, and he's hover-handing me, and it's creepy, and I'm married to him. Go away. Here, wait. That's better. That's better. Now he's actually touching me. If the person says you can hug them or put your arm around them, do it. If you don't think you can, hands at your sides. Do not hover-hand. It is creepy. But that's basically our advice for everything. Don't be a creep. Just don't be a creep. but thank you. We have rambled on way too long. We've talked for, I think, like 2 hours, but we really wanted to get into the nitty gritty here. We wanted to cover more than we did in the last few years. And I think we did. There's lots of things. If you have any questions or comments, you can contact any one of us. We will help you out and we'll let you know some things. And there's some things we didn't talk about. There's a couple, relationship stuff that can happen at cons. If you want to talk about that, I'm totally open to talk about that. I'm just not going to put that on a show. But send in feedback, questions, whatever. If you're nervous about being a panelist for the first time, I am open to talking to you about what that's like on a one-on-one, you know, to give you some pointers for whichever con you're actually going to be attending. But let us know your feedback and your tips and your tricks, and you'll hear all that at the end. Jax, is there anything you want to pimp tonight?
No, I'm good tonight.
Okay. No pimping for Jax. Jason.
I got it. No. You guys know, you can find me on our website at talknerdytomepodcast.com. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/nerdytome. And of course, you can find us on the Twitter at nerdytomepodcast. But a real special shout out. I did a recording today specifically talking about what I wanted my podcast to be. And the reason why I give this a shout out is because I pay homage to Nutty and Tech, because honestly and wholeheartedly, if it wasn't for Nutty and Tech, I probably wouldn't be podcasting. Like, those two have helped me out tremendously. They are knowledgeable, they are experienced, and Tech is deliciously great. Tell him from Nutty at some point, it's fine. But no, you know, seriously, they've helped me out wonderfully. And I would not be podcasting if it wasn't for those guys. So big shout out on that episode. And I'll try to get that out here in the next couple of days so you guys can hear that. But yeah, you guys have helped me out awesomely. So I give you all the shout outs. And that's why I do whenever I can get you guys shout outs from people like Richard Hepcar.
Thank you. And Tech, Mr. Almost a Shodan. Almost a Shodan.
Yep. So my black belt test comes up on June 11th. I will try to do something about that recently. I have been recording audio, my audio thoughts on what I do in Aikido. You can find my written thoughts on me trying to learn Aikido the hard way at upsidedownandflying.tumblr.com. You can also find all of my other writings about ballistics, Mars, and other weird and quirky stuff at nimlast.org. And anything else, try to contact me through nimlas.org or anything through Nutty, because you can find me there.
And so what did you learn last night?
I learned, this will mean nothing to no one else but me, I learned that Kamai is not here, it's here. So hands out, not in. It means nothing to no one else. It was a massive revelation to me. It was something I learned on my very first day that took me 3.5 years to learn, apparently, because I'm an idiot.
Or it's, we're continuing to learn it all the way up to ninth Dan.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, hey, whatever.
All right. So thank you so much, everyone. Thank you for joining us. And thank you to those in the live chat. And bye.
Bye.
It's alive. It's alive. It's alive. It's alive. It's alive.
19 Nocturne Boulevard is rising from the grave. Slowly. With the aid of our Patreon campaign and viewers, I mean listeners like you, we might once more stand astride this world like titans. But we'll settle for getting an episode or two out each month. Help us bring this award-winning audio drama anthology series back to life by joining our Patreon campaign at patreon.com/19nocturne. That's 19 nocturne. To listen to our prior episodes, check us out on iTunes, or you can just listen to our online radio station at justpasttheautomat.com.
Join us!
Nutty Bites is produced by Nimlas Studios under a Creative Commons Attribution No Commercial Non-Derivatives 3.0 International License. That means you can't change it without my permission. You can share it and send it to your friends. Just link back to me, my site, and everything. We live at nimlas.org, which has links to everything social media, including facebook.com/group/nuttybites and patreon.com/nukejoss, or call 347-Nutty42.